Miss the headline and the top story of the day?
Extra, extra, read all about it.
Don't worry, because we got you covered.
This is how we do.
It's the Cattles and Rami.
Top spot.
Like, so tunnel vision with this show today. I just realized during the break that I had not stood up since the show began.
Yeah, how'd that feel?
Like, I haven't got up once.
Pins
couple
and
of, couple of cracks.
Yeah.
Couple of clicks and cracks and
I try to get up at least once an hour and just move, you know? Sometimes I'll just go do a lap in the hallway.
Well, that's, you know, that's usually the plan.
Yeah. I need you to stay flexible like Tom Segura.
Exactly.
Nimble.
Arm was quite flexible in the video that we watched 150 times during the
from multiple
break.
Angles.
From multiple angles.
Lived up to the hype, though, right?
I didn't see the last angle.
Oh, my God.
I will just thankfully say I was not watching it for the last angle, which made Simone run out of the room.
Dude, the sound when his body hits the ground is that is not a sound a human body should make.
Not great, Rami.
No,
not great. By the way, I will just say that I am totally distracted in the studio because the American Gladiators 30 for 30 is on,
yes.
And I just keep looking at it. I can't stop.
I know.
I'm 100% watching this thing.
We got it in here, too.
Now, you said what? Part one's like an hour and 20
minutes?
Hour and
20 minutes. Yeah.
When's part two come out?
But that's with commercials. So you could
probably. Part two comes out today, JJ?
Tonight.
You could probably get through it in 45, 50 minutes, if fast forwarding through commercials.
Well, binge watching it.
Yeah.
ESPN Plus, right? I just watch it on that.
Oh, you could do that. Yeah. So I'm guessing without
I know
the commercials,
what I'm doing tomorrow night.
It's about 45, 50 minutes.
I know, the finals are tomorrow night.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
After the finals. After we're in the West Coast, Nick.
Exactly. Yes, sir. Yeah. Live a little.
You can do both. All right. Top spot today on this Wednesday. Glad to be back. Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports. As I just mentioned, tomorrow night, Rami, is going to be game one of the finals. 8 seed of the Eastern Conference, 1 seed of the West. Miami, Denver. What's this matchup say about the NBA?
It's a weird year. It's an anomaly. I don't think that this will be the norm. Not in a number of ways. You may never see another 8 seed get back to the NBA Finals. That's a real possibility that this doesn't happen again in our lifetime. So it's an anomaly in that way. The Heat are an anomaly in that they were just a 1 seed a year ago. This isn't your typical 8 seed. This is a 1 seed that had a bunch of injuries and also just kind of didn't go pedal to the metal this regular season the way that they have in previous regular seasons. When you look at the Nuggets, I said earlier in the show, Nick, subpar for a 1 seed. And John Hollinger explained it today. Their win percentage this year, not what you usually get from a 1 seed. In 2008, they would have been the 7th seed. Their 64.6% win percentage was the lowest in the West since 1978-79. It's not the norm. And they also took their foot off the gas pedal in the second half. You also had injuries throughout this league to star players that affected regular season records and the way that things shook out. You had injuries in the postseason that affected the way that series shook out.
Too many injuries in the postseason.
And Nick, in the midst of all that, and John Hollinger makes this point in the article I just referenced, we might just be in a lull in between great teams. It's possible that the Nuggets or the Heat are the next great team in the NBA, and we're seeing the beginnings of a dynasty. Or it could just be that the Warriors fizzled out and that next great team hasn't really taken the throne yet. And the Nuggets and the Heat are kind of beneficiaries of that in getting to the NBA Finals in what, as I described, is a weird, just weird anomaly of a year.
It highlights stability to me. And look, you're not always going to win at the highest level with, you know, organizational stability. It also helps to have talent. It helps to have guys that show up and play hard like Miami does. It helps when you have others like Gabe Vincent and Caleb Martin playing out of their minds like they did in the Eastern Conference Finals. Those things help, certainly. But stability, you know, from the top at the head coach spot, Spoelstra being there in Miami, you know, second longest tenured head coach in the league, led by Pat Riley. Pat Riley's been there forever. He was the guy that picked Spoelstra, right? Remember when, you know, a lot of people wanted Riley to fire Spoelstra early on because he didn't win a championship with the quote-unquote Heatles. And Riley came out and publicly said, no, we're going to stick by Spo. Like, I'm not going to come out of retirement and coach this team. I'm 100% confident in Eric Spoelstra being the guy. And he was right. So Spoelstra's been there for a while. And, of course, Michael Malone's been in Denver for a while now. And you have that core stability through the coach who knows what's going on with his team at all times, understands, you know, what to do to get the most out of his players. He understands the weaknesses. His players trust him. He trusts them. All of those different things. It's the stability of those two organizations that have paid big-time dividends. So that's the one thing that really, really stands out to me. Miami, meanwhile, look, incredible story. They deserve everything they've got. They beat Milwaukee in 5. They beat the Knicks. Then they move on and beat the Celtics in 7. And they deserve it. They've hit a bunch of big shots. Jimmy Butler's been one of the best postseason players in the NBA for several years now. Again, Spoelstra, to me, is the best coach in the game for my money. They absolutely 100% deserve this. But we also can't look at this and say, this is the beginning of something for 8 seeds. Like, no, 8 seeds are 8 seeds for a reason, okay? This doesn't happen, mic check. This doesn't happen, you know.
We're going to go back. We're going to go back to the old ways.
Regularly.
Superstar-dominated teams of 1 or 2 or 3 teams in each conference legitimately having a chance to win a championship on a year-to-year basis. Personally, Nick, I like it. I hope parity is here to stay in the NBA. I like it. As a fan or somebody who has a rooting interest in any specific or individual team, and just as a fan of the sport, I like the sort of what's the word that I'm looking for? Hard to predict future or nature.
Unpredictable.
Of a unpredictable future or nature of a sport. That's part of what makes the NFL great to me. That you can go worst to first and be a Super Bowl contender in a matter of 1 or 2 off seasons.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that somebody who does finish a 4th or 5th or a 6 seed in the NFL can get through the bracket and be one of the representatives in the Super Bowl, if not win the whole thing. That's a good thing to the sport for me. That being said, I don't know that it's here to stay.
It'll be interesting to see. I mean, a lot of people, and I know you talked about this last week or earlier this week, the idea of the NBA being somewhat stagnant this offseason. If there's not a lot of movement, it's going to be fascinating to see what impact that has. You'd imagine, like, all right, you know, This postseason run for Caleb Martin, man, my goodness, right? So how are things going to change? Where are players going to go? That always plays a huge role into, you know, how a season is going to play out. We'll have to wait and see where all of that goes with the moves. I always kind of anticipate the NBA being busy. Even if people tell me it's not going to be busy, I still expect like 1 or 2 big moves to happen.
It does seem that way.
The NBA is never dormant. You know, with off-season stuff. So something, I think, will happen.
Somebody will be disgruntled, unhappy with their team, demand a trade.
And so
something will happen.
I would think Miami will not
be
an 8 seed next year. You know, I'd be surprised if Kyle Lowry is still on this team unless they're forced to keep him on the team. So there's, you know, these teams themselves are going to move up or down dependent on what happens. But, I agree with you, Rami. I would not expect – look, to me, parity is not like an 8 seed getting in. An 8 seed getting in is a Cinderella story. Parity is like when you get like a 5 seed in or a 4 seed. If that's – we could expect maybe more 4 seeds, 3, 4, 5 seeds to get in moving forward. Because I think, you know, the one thing that you can take away, unless you consider Denver a super team, which I don't, it does seem like the super teams are kind of a thing of the past. You know, and even if you're looking at Denver as a super team, they built it the quote-unquote right way. They drafted Jokic. They drafted Murray. They drafted Porter Jr. They brought in Bruce Brown on such a ridiculous contract for them. I mean, we talk about a great deal that they got Bruce Brown for. They drafted Christian Brown in the 2nd round. So, you know, you look at that team, that's developing. That's drafting and developing, similar to what the Warriors did. You know, before the Kevin Durant, you know, era.
And this kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the Warriors and these new luxury tax penalties that are kicking in with the new CBA. Adam Silver has kind of made it one of his missions to end the super teams and bring some measure of parity to the NBA and sort of spreading the stars out over the league rather than them all, you know, congregating in 2 or 3 cities or 2 or 3 franchises.
One other quick note here on the top story. The Cali Classic is coming back to the G1C. It will be here July 3rd and 5th. And the teams that will be there, Spurs, Hornets, Kings, of course, Warriors, Lakers, and Heat, And you lead with the Spurs and the Hornets because they have the first and second picks in the draft, respectively, this June.
Did Keegan play in the California Classic last
year? He did.
He did?
He did. So we'll see if Wembanyama plays. We'll see whoever Charlotte picks, whether it's Miller or Scoot or whatever they do at number two. But you at least have an outside shot at seeing Victor Wembanyama.
I would go to that if I had a chance to see Victor Wembanyama.
That's a sellout, isn't it? Do you think that's a sellout?
If Wembanyama's, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Wembanyama plays?
Sacramento Kings fans, yes.
You think the G1C sells out?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
I'll say at least 9,000.
Downstairs, well, for sure.
Over, yeah. Under 9,500.
Over. I'll take the over on that.
Yeah.
Man's got enough hype around him.
I'll take the over as well.
Yeah, I think I'd go over, too. It's going to be all the hype. Like, what happens is people will see it on ESPN and build up.
I'm not even going to lie. I'm caught up in the hype. I can't wait to see Victor Wembanyama against any measure of NBA competition.
Here's the thing, and I don't say this about a lot of players. I don't think it's hype. I think it's the dude is that good.
Whatever it is, I'm wrapped up in it.
It's just the question is the injury. Because I think like when we hear hype, we think of like someone who doesn't deserve it.
Sure.
This dude deserves everything that people are saying about him. So I think I go beyond the hype. I just say this guy is really freaking good. Just got to stay healthy, which is a big if with that frame, if you look at history. Really, how good was the 49ers offseason? We're going to answer that in 90 seconds.
Paddles and Ronnie. Sacktown Sports.
So Bill Barnwell of ESPN, one of my favorite writers.
Same.
Very analytical, very in-depth, very smart, very reasonable. One of my favorites. And Barnwell recently wrote about the NFL offseason, and he ranked 1 to 32.
That's a lot of work.
Yes. Yes. He ranked from 1 to 32 offseason for each team. So, for example, the 49ers were ranked 11th. So, Bill Barnwell of ESPN says that the Niners had the 11th best offseason in the NFL. So, just outside the top 10. And he mentions the Hargrave addition. He mentions one of the things that did not help was the McGlinchey loss. Rami, when you look at the Niners offseason, do you think that's a fair ranking, or would you have them higher or lower?
Just on the surface, and looking at the moves that they made, Nick, quite frankly, I was underwhelmed by the 49ers offseason, short of the Hargrave signing, just because of some of the guys that they let walk in free agency, not addressing the offensive line, and deciding to go with Colton McKivitz, who's started one game for them, and not addressing the quarterback position in a more serious manner or fashion. I was underwhelmed by it. But going back to what we talked about earlier, and this organization's knack for finding and developing talent, both coaching and players.
Right.
At seemingly a higher level than most NFL teams, I do factor in some benefit of the doubt or grade on a curve that includes some benefit of the doubt when talking about the 49ers and going, even if I don't necessarily agree or see the wisdom in some of these moves, they must, and they tend to get it right. So I would probably put it right around, you said Barnwell had him 10 or 11?
11.
Yeah, I'd probably put him right around 10 or 11. With a lot of that just being benefit of the doubt, I couldn't put them much higher than that and say they had, you know, a top 10 or top 5 offseason. But yeah, 10, 11, somewhere right around there, sure.
Could only go on paper, right?
Right.
I could only go off of what is on paper and what they actually did this offseason. And look, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan might have it all figured out. And like you said, some of these comp picks and all that might work out for them. But I think 11 is too high. Yeah, I think they're at least, to me at best, around middle of the pack. Nothing about this offseason, aside from Hargrave, as you mentioned, really stood out to me. I think there are legitimate questions about the quarterback plan, right? You know, was Sam Darnold the guy? Now, of course, I don't know. Maybe they had to sign Darnold because the other guys, like a Baker Mayfield, was like, nah, you know, if Purdy's your guy, I want a chance to start the whole season, and that's why he ends up in Tampa. I don't know how negotiations went. All I can tell you is what I know and what I see and what is on that paper. So quarterback is still a question to me. Small sample size with Brock. He's coming off of the injury. We don't know how that's going to go. And I know everybody's, you know, screaming from the mountaintops about how great he looks right now. We'll see. Trey Lance is a complete unknown. And Darnold's been bad in the NFL. So quarterback playing the most important position in the league, I don't know if you feel super comfortable about any of the options right now. Like, to me, now, Niners fans might. To me, I would not be uber confident in any three of those individuals giving you a great season from beginning to end. You're also playing Colton McKivitz at right tackle. That could blow up in your face. He's a fifth-round pick. He's played exactly one meaningful game in the last two seasons. And you're going to throw him out there and hope that he can do, you know, well enough to make you forget about Mike McGlinchey. And I'm not telling you that Mike McGlinchey is a great offensive lineman. I'm not telling you he's a top five guy. But what I am telling you is he's pretty good. And McKivitz might be a disaster. He might be good, but we don't know. So, you know, your biggest hole arguably was the offensive line after quarterback, if you don't believe in Purdy. You brought in Darnold, and you are just going to let McKivitz be the guy.
Maybe I'm being naive, but I saw him go from Trey Lance to Jimmy Garoppolo to Brock Purdy last year and only get better every time they had to go to a new quarterback. You know what I mean?
Listen, this is not us talking about how they're going to do this year.
No.
This is about their offseason.
I know, but what I'm saying is this goes back to that. Again, I have questions about the quarterback position, same as you do, Nick. I also give them some benefit of the doubt that they'll figure it out. And if it comes down to Sam Darnold, because right now I'd say he's 3 on the depth chart, if everybody is healthy. I don't know how big a gap there is between 2 and 3, but I'd say he's 3. If you get down to Sam Darnold for whatever reason, if he could pull it off with Brock Purdy, I got to have some faith he could pull it off with Sam Darnold.
Meanwhile, the Raiders, according to Barnwell, had the third worst offseason in the NFL. This was before the Jimmy G news came out with his injury. I think they had the worst offseason.
It's right up there.
When you have the Jimmy G problem pop up, I think that makes it the worst. Look, you downgraded at quarterback, even if, in my eyes, you downgraded even if Jimmy G's healthy.
Yes.
Now Jimmy G has the biggest question, which should not be a surprising question because it's been a question that has surrounded him for the last several years. Dude can't stay healthy, right? So you downgraded at quarterback. The quarterback that you downgraded to might not play anytime soon. If he gets out there, you don't know how much he's going to play. You did not really do much of anything to address the offensive line. And the offensive line got better as the season went on, but you still had some, you know, questionable pieces up front. And I thought when you looked at this team, you said immediately they needed help defensively. And you drafted Tyree Wilson, which your first pick, which he might end up being a stud. But he has an injury question. And he is also, you know, as pundits would tell you, a projectable kind of, you know, prospect. He's not necessarily, no one really knows if he's going to be able to make that immediate day one impact. He might. But the injury is a big question with him. I mean, Jacoby Myers, nice player. I love the Michael Mayer pick. I said that after the draft. I love Michael Mayer. I think he's going to be a great fit with that offense at tight end. But I don't see how this team got markedly better in the offseason.
I don't even know what the plan is, Nick. I don't even have to agree with your plan, you know what I mean, from sitting in this chair, but I don't even see it. I don't even see the vision.
Yeah, show me one.
I don't even know what they have in mind over there, quite frankly. It makes no sense. We talked about the 49ers quarterback position. To take a step back, to decide to take a step back at the quarterback position and still go through with it when you find out this guy has a broken foot is just, that's... I can't even explain that, Nick. I can't wrap my head around that.
Well, you know, I think timing did not help the Raiders, right? Like, you got to make that decision. How many other options are out there? You know, Baker Mayfield versus a banged up Jimmy G. But it's a disaster. I think it's a disastrous situation. And
agreed.
Maybe they fall out of the tree and land on their feet. No pun intended with Garoppolo, but. I don't know.
That foot will break if you fall out of a tree.
Jacoby Myers is, you know, again, he's a good football player. But if you're putting him in the role of Darren Waller, if look, it's an upgrade because Waller hasn't been healthy. But it's not like they went out there to me, and especially in the division that they're in the conference that they're in. I ask, how'd you get better? Did you get
they
better?
They didn't. No. They got worse.
And I mean, it all
and
ends.
And if I'm Davante Adams, I'm furious.
It all ends with the Jimmy G injury. I mean, look, if the guy doesn't play, you got Brian Hoyer.
Yep.
So it certainly doesn't give you a lot of confidence after, you know, Josh McDaniel's Denver tenure to follow up with the first year of just dramatic loss after dramatic loss, and then this offseason.
Josh McDaniels is living up to every worst fear that I had when the Raiders hired him. You know what I mean? I did give him some benefit of the doubt of saying, hey, maybe he learned from his failures in Denver and going back and learning under the wing, the tutelage of a Bill Belichick. But this looks like the same old that we saw in Denver with maybe some minor tweaks.
The phone is ringing.
And we are checking to see who's on the line.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
News, gossip, a story.
Okay, who's the next victim?
It's the callback.
On Cattles and Rami.
We're getting into the racy part of this documentary, apparently. Oh, 30 for 30.
There's a racy part?
If you're watching the video. There's
Whoa.
Stuff going on there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Apparently the gladiators liked each other. Spent a lot of time together. And did some things on video.
Yes.
So there's that.
By the way, a lot of them are not looking great these days. Just throw that out there.
I mean,
they're looking rough. Like, they've been through some gladiator games.
If the last time you saw them was when they're in their peak physical condition.
Yes, that is true.
In like the late 20s, and now they're, you know, in their...
I'm basing it on the way I've aged, which is, you know, I still look the same as I did 20 years ago. So I guess I shouldn't put that on everyone, right?
I'm glad you remained humble while I was out for the 2 weeks. The humility still shining through. Melissa Lockard from The Athletic joined us earlier today. Of course, Melissa covers the A's and some Bay sports out there for The Athletic. And we talked about the A's situation, this Vegas deal. And Melissa, I should remind everybody, was on the Folsom Lake Honda hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. And here was Melissa talking about how the whole situation's absurd.
The whole thing is so absurd, right? Like, you have rumors of groups of people that want to keep the team here that are willing to buy it. And that isn't being entertained in exchange for the possibility of moving into a very tiny stadium with no development around it. In a smaller market, it is baffling before you even get to the point of what would happen if a vote doesn't come through. So it's really hard to say. I mean, at some point, if this stalls out, you know, it's possible the league says, hey, listen, this is getting to be ridiculous and you need to sell this team. There was a moment in that legislative introduction on Monday where they said that, you know, they weren't going to return to Oakland and they would look for a different city if this didn't go through. That seemed like a little bit of an idle threat. I mean, the whole reason this is timeline is what it is because they want to remain on revenue sharing, and there's no way you could get another city to approve something in time for revenue sharing to still kick in when you already are like 3/4 of the way there in Oakland and, you know, presumably fairly down the line in Vegas, but you'd have to start over somewhere else.
I feel like absurd fully encapsulates this situation.
Yes.
From Major League Baseball to John Fisher to the Vegas in or out, foot in the pool, foot out of the pool. It's just a mess.
Absurd is a perfect way to describe it, Nick. And it seems to get more and more absurd by the day. And they can't seem to really get a grip of this thing. Every time you're like, oh, it looks like it's going to happen, something comes out where it looks like they're fumbling it. And I really don't know if this is going to happen, Nick, and I'm rooting for it to not happen, this move to Vegas, and just see how Rob Manfred and John Fisher handle it then, because they bumble this thing and fumble this thing every chance that they get.
I mean, let's not forget that there was at least consideration to having the Tampa Bay Rays play half of their games in Montreal. Did you remember that genius conversation?
Yes, I did.
That they would play half of the games in Montreal? Just, you know, what would happen in the postseason? I don't know. Split the postseason games between the cities?
So stupid.
And really, you know, Melissa Lockhart again joining us. The question was, does the league even care about the A's? Are they just like worried about the Vegas expansion round?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, they are taking free money. On the other hand, they're losing all their games this year, right? Like, so all these teams are getting free wins, which I'm sure bothers absolutely none of them. They've never pushed the salary envelope at any point that John Fisher's owned them. So they've been very good boys when it comes to that sort of thing, which is important to them. And, you know, this idea of a privately financed stadium, you know, the Giants pulled it off, obviously, in San Francisco, but that wasn't what baseball wanted. They want their teams to push for publicly financed stadiums. So, you know, using Fisher as a cudgel to kind of get that, you know, back on the kind of track as to what baseball wants is probably what they're... I mean, he seems so disinterested in this entire thing. He referred to the site that the A's are looking to build on as the MGM site, which briefly turned everybody into a panic as to, well, they picked another site. Well, it's just because he probably looked at those ridiculous renderings and saw MGM was, like, bigger than anything else on there. But he didn't even... he hadn't even read enough to, like, remember that it was Tropicana now that they were talking about and not MGM. So I don't know that they spend much time thinking about the A's at all, to be honest with you. It's as absurd as it may seem.
Oh, mic check.
Mic check, first one.
For Nick Cattle.
Lovable, squeezable Nick.
It's the... the MGM? No, it's not the MGM. What? Where is it? Oh, Tropicana. Yeah, whatever.
Somewhere on top of the monster.
You know, somewhere in Vegas. Whatever. Somewhere in Vegas. Just going to strand him somewhere in Vegas. Whatever. Whatever works.
I would love to think, Nick, and that's the reason I asked that question. I would love to think that at some point, Major League Baseball, Rob Manfred, the fellow owners, would start to feel some sense of embarrassment or shame.
Of course not.
By how this thing has been handled and fumbled every step along the way.
Nope.
And then I remind myself, they have no shame. They have no shame, and they don't care about their fans. Not even a little bit. To the point where they will hold the team hostage and blame the fans that billionaires can't manage to renovate or build a stadium and make it suitable for Major League Baseball and the fans that give over their hard-earned money to go and watch Major League Baseball. It's an absolute embarrassment the way this thing has and continues to be handled.
Melissa Lockhart on the Folsom Lake Hana Hotline. Of course, she is from The Athletic. One more with Melissa. So on Monday, there was the presentation. The A's trying to get $380 million from Vegas to build this stadium. And so there was the presentation on Monday night to try to get this bill, SB 509, across, right? Well, here's the recap of that presentation, the fact that Cavill and Fisher did not show up to the vote.
Sounds like the latest report is that Dave Cavill and John Fisher are on the floor in the legislature trying to drum up votes because they don't have them right now. Whether that holds through the rest of this negotiation remains to be seen. Obviously, there are things that can be given to people who are opposed that can flip a vote, and that's obviously what they're working on right now. But the fact that Fisher and Cavill, who did not show up on the Monday that they introduced that legislation, would make an appearance now, you know, kind of lends some credence to the idea that this might be a little bit in trouble and that they're going to have to dig deep to get these votes. I think it's going to be close. You know, who knows exactly how it'll break down. But, you know, I think the fact that this has been rushed and it's been so obviously rushed has got to feel icky to the politicians that are having to make these decisions, you know, for lack of a better word.
I said this earlier in the show and I'll say it again. Dream scenario, this all fails. The A's end up staying in Oakland. Fisher humiliated, the whole situation, a disaster for the league.
Forced to sell.
An embarrassment. He's forced to sell. Mm-hmm. New owner comes in. New owner, new stadium.
Saves the day.
Saves the day for Oakland and keeps the A's there.
That'd be a beautiful thing, man. Fans deserve what the scenario you just laid out, Nick. They really do. And again, baseball fans. The way that baseball fans are treated, no matter what the team. Nick, you know how much I hate the St. Louis Cardinals.
Yeah.
If this was happening right now in St. Louis, I'd be saying, how could you do that to Cardinals fans? The way baseball fans are treated, market to market, team to team, city to city, across this league, is an absolute embarrassment, and it starts in the commissioner's office.
So there you have it. It's the callback today on this Wednesday. Thanks to
I will fight that man.
Melissa Lockard for joining
fight
us.
Fight him.
Yeah, it's just Again, that's my dream.
Dreams
hardly ever happen, but hopefully this one does.
Can Rob Manfred get taken out somewhere? Not taken out, taken out of his job.
See,
somewhere along the way in that scenario.
They could replace him with somebody worse. The way the owners
that's
are.
That's not possible.
I don't know. Don't put it past Major League Baseball owners.
I just want Theo Epstein to be the commissioner. He'll fix everything.
Oh, God. He should have been in a long time ago.
He'll fix everything.
I don't think he wants it. He knows the impending doom. Like, thanks, but no thanks. I'll do this fun job where I'm talking about pitch clocks and stuff. I want to be the commissioner. Thanks, but no thanks. All right. You'll never guess, and I mean never, guess what a possible future Sacramento King tweeted recently. Find out next. Rami ruining my pro wrestling watching tonight.
How?
My viewing. Because you just told me about the announcement. I knew what it was going to be anyway. But still, there was still some unknown about
Wait,
it.
Wait, I thought I wasn't trying to ruin anything for you.
What you told
was
me.
Was that announced on the show?
Yes.
Yes. My bad.
It's okay.
I thought it was just a tweet.
I pretty much knew what it was going
announcing
to be.
Announcing it. Okay. My bad.
It's fine. It's fine. It could have been worse.
And I hadn't seen rumblings of this before. Like, I don't think this is earth-shattering. Most people know, right? If you're into the wrestling?
Yeah, I would think so.
I'm not even into the wrestling.
If you're into AEW, you probably know.
I just spend too much time on Twitter.
Again, I'll say this.
We can't even hear it.
I can't keep my eyes off of the American Gladiator documentary that is on in the studio. I'm like all in on this thing, and I haven't heard a word.
You know what's funny is we can tell like what parts of the documentary it is without even hearing it.
Yeah,
like we saw like the building up, the scandal, and then we just saw during the commercial the part where they talk about the physical toll it took on people's body, the injuries, everything else.
Yeah,
we can tell exactly what part of the documentary they're in without even hearing it.
Yeah,
so just let us tell you what's going on. You don't need to watch that. We'll just tell you what's up.
Can't wait to watch it. Meanwhile, so the New York Knicks.
Oh, the jousting with the giant Q-tips?
Yeah. One of my favorites. Then the big pods, the big, like, podium things.
Yeah. Loved it.
I love this show.
Loved it.
Yeah, see, you're not helping. So the New York Knicks made it to the second round this year. You feel good about it if you're a Knicks fan.
Sure.
Honestly, it's the next step, right?
Oh, they were throwing a parade.
They literally were.
Yeah.
You take the next step. Take the next step forward. And a major reason why they got to the second round was Josh Hart. And many people are thinking, hoping that Hart could end up a Sacramento King. He is one of the guys that has been consistently linked with this team, going back to the trade deadline. And Josh Hart tweeted out one of the most random tweets that you will see a professional athlete tweet. Have y'all ever tasted y'all significant other's breast milk? Asking for a friend.
No. I mean, my significant other has never...
How so quiet in here.
...produced breast milk.
JJ has a child.
Yes,
JJ?
Yes, he does.
He's just shaking his head.
That'd be a negative. That'd be no, sir.
Oh, man.
No. No, man. No. What do you mean? What are you? No.
Would you?
No.
What if the significant other asked?
No.
Really?
I've heard reviews.
Why?
And they're not good.
Really?
Yes.
I'll tell you. It's fine. It's perfectly fine.
What?
Wait, hold on. Wait. Time out.
What?
No. Time out. It's what's fine. It's not good enough of a description. What is it in that sentence? It's like it's fine. Like, are you
giving a review from experience?
Do you have experience?
I was definitely curious after my friend had a child.
No.
And
No, Simone, that is not okay. It's not okay. I'm sorry.
I'm so gonna get canceled.
No.
0 to 10.
I'm telling you,
Simone.
There's a lot of people.
0 to 10.
Pulled over in their car right now, and they're just nodding their heads like, yep.
No.
I've been there, too.
No.
So Rami said bad reviews. What's your review? 0 to 10.
It tastes like almond milk.
It tastes
sweet,
like
almond milk.
Wait, it's got a sweetness to it?
A little sweet.
Because I've heard it has
like... Rami might be in now.
No. I do have a sweet tooth. That is true.
We're making milkshakes.
I've heard it's like... pungent and almost bitter.
Oh, no.
If this continues, I might throw up. first show back in a couple weeks, I might throw up on the air.
No, guys, it wasn't bad. And it was just
I don't
a
believe
sip.
You.
It was just a sip, and it wasn't bad.
I don't believe you.
Moolah okay. Johnson on the YouTube chat says it's honestly good.
No, it's not, dude. No.
Someone else. Megadeth Night. It tastes like vanilla almond milk. I'm telling you, it's a thing.
Biscuits.
Eight biscuits. It's not. It tastes like eight biscuits.
I remember a couple years back, there was some, I think it was in New York, some restaurant was making cheese out of it.
I like, so here's.
No.
Here's
Stop.
The thing.
Stop.
That's gross.
Stop.
Here's the thing, though, that I want to highlight in this whole conversation.
Cambodian breast milk.
Here's what we need to highlight.
Yes.
So Rami has never tasted it.
No.
But he is so confident that it's awful. He's telling everybody, it is awful. And Simone has actually tasted it and said it's not bad. And Rami's like, shut up. It's terrible.
And I didn't know if I was going to say that.
Don't believe
her. I'm just going to stand in my truth right now.
Don't believe her.
You know, provide excellent entertainment for people. But it was totally fine.
It's like
almond milk.
You go outside and be like, it's hot out. Rami's like, no,
I don't
stop.
Believe you.
You haven't even been outside. I don't care.
We have different definitions of hot, you know?
If I brought you some, you wouldn't taste
no,
it?
No!
Okay.
Absolutely
right.
Not.
Right.
How much money? That's the inevitable next question.
It's got to be four figures.
Really?
Four figures.
That's crap. You would take a sip of it for $100.
No.
Yes, yes, you would.
Nah.
Yes, you would. JJ, Woody, $100?
Get it in the studio.
I'm going to say no. No.
Because nice
I wouldn't. And I mean, I love my daughter, you know, at the time. No.
A fresh $100 bill.
Put a bottle and a $100 bill in front of me and let's see what happens.
You would want 100% do it.
Rami, I'm going to say no for you, brother. Come on now. Hold me down over here, Rami. 500?
Maybe.
Maybe
500.
John C. jumps into the YouTube chat, says that he jumped into the chat to just let you know that it doesn't taste bad.
Simone, did you take it like a shot? Did
John
you, out
C.
of a bottle?
Yes, I did. I was
out, like
there
a shot?
At a party. Yep. She happened
at a party.
At a party.
Yeah. Oh,
so
this is even getting further.
What kind of parties do you go to?
Sorry,
it sounds like
Bert
Kreischer was his name, but it sounded like his party.
It was totally a get together. There were multiple friends. We all squeezed it into little shot glasses.
Oh,
I didn't take that much. It's just a sip. It was just a sip, but you're able to
when
pour it into shot glasses.
I'm stopping myself for so many comments.
Were you a little under the weather?
You mean under the influence?
100% she was.
Add to a bit.
The next morning, she was talking about almond milk. The next morning was coconut water.
Yeah.
Exactly. Coconut water.
So see, I can't, I gotta be able to see the source. I'm valuing the source opinion at the point.
Yeah. Wow. It's totally fine, you guys. Try
By the
it
way,
sometime.
So
try
John,
it.
John C. says it does taste like sweet almond milk. Monty Making Mitch says you gotta sample before the baby gets some. Make sure it ain't gone bad. Monty Making Mitch said, by the way, he'd do it for $5.
Five?
I mean, he'd do it for free.
Why
give you five?
Right?
Yeah.
$5. You might as well just
doing it for the experience.
Two candy bars. What are you doing?
I'm not shaming anyone who doesn't want to do it. I'm just saying it's not that bad if you try it.
Very funny comedian, Pete
don't,
Lee. He's actually open for Bert Kreischer. He has a great bit
don't
on this.
Don't knock it till you try it.
I'm
going to
knock it. I'm going to knock it.
Of course. You're Rami.
Yes.
I'm going to bring you some. I got a friend that's pregnant
no,
right now.
No, no.
I would say.
You cannot bring him some, Simone, of another young
some.
Lady.
Please do. Baby
First of
is
all.
Due in September,
Mm-mm.
August, we for gotta, Nick's birthday.
They would have let
It'll
Jay eat
perfect.
A chip. They would have let Jay eat a chip.
I was
when
gonna
he,
say.
There's no way they're letting me do this.
I feel like we've got to pass this through HR before we go any further.
It's like a, you know.
I would bet you
pathogens.
Rami would do this for $50.
No, absolutely not. Mm. No. I think Jay is on 500. I think Jay is on to something when he says 500.
Shut up.
My initial reaction is 1,000, but
you might not do it for 50. You'd definitely do it for 100.
Nah.
Yes, you would.
No, I don't think so.
Yes, you
just
would.
Test me.
That's
you know?
A random young lady.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, that's randomness.
Yeah,
I don't know about this
person.
Yeah.
What if you
random?
Knew the person? That would be weird,
not.
Wouldn't it?
Still
if you knew the person,
that's what
wanna,
I thought.
I wouldn't want to try to.
What if? Okay. What if Emily's like, okay, will you taste this? To see if it tastes bad, would you taste it in that?
Yeah, but women are different though. Like women are, they have different relationships with each other. You
God,
know what I mean?
The way
like
my eyes just rolled to the back of my head. Give me a moment.
I'm talking about your relationships with each other. Like, dudes don't share certain things. Females share a lot of things.
I'm saying if they shared a child and she said, here, test my breast milk,
that's what
he
I
wouldn't
asked him.
Do it?
Yeah. I asked him
I said
that.
No.
Said,
I'll tell
no.
you the truth.
So.
When my daughter's mom
yeah,
asked
no.
me,
I already
I'm,
asked him that. Rami said no.
No. Okay. What do, I mean, Sorry. What do I get out of it?
Yeah.
If she was like, it's funky,
I
need
talking
to
about,
know.
I was talking about, like, not...
It's
not,
funky,
like,
throw it out. What am I tasting it for? You know what I mean?
It's like that dummy. Raccoon
right.
commercial. This tastes like garbage.
No. Don't you, I hate that when people are like, this smells bad. Smell it or taste it. No, it's bad.
Yeah, is this milk bad?
Exactly.
Take a sip.
If yeah. you have questions, just get rid of it.
Like curdling in front of
Pump
my
some more.
Yeah, like...
What is wrong with people?
Again, I could see girlfriends and being like, you know, can you taste this? Can you help me out? And that happened. But like, it, because it's a, again, it's a, they have closer relationships and emotional bonds that dudes don't have. Like, you know what I mean? We, a lot of us bond over stupid things. Women bond over serious, legit things.
Yeah.
Nature things. You know what I mean? Like, it's a whole pregnancy idea.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, y'all are kind of like together in it.
Yes.
Dudes are like, duh.
And I was curious. I
That's
was
why I'm
curious.
Actually, I'm surprised that, you know, there's not more dudes that are popping on going, oh, yeah, I've tried it because it's like, duh.
I'm telling you.
Seems like a Friday night thing, right? Like, all right.
Listen to my voice. They are out there, and it's okay that you tried it. I'm here to tell you.
I don't think it is. I just don't think it's okay.
Well, we have a couple people that have tried it, and they agree with Simone. So, I'm going to go with the people that have actually tried
don't
it.
Don't try and appeal to my sweet tooth.
It's not
okay.
It's not trying
right.
to. It's just you've never tried it. So,
no.
I'm going to believe in the. I'm going to believe more in the people that have actually tried it than the person saying, "Oh, well, I just no, I don't."
Okay. I'm saying
that's how we end my first show back. I feel like it's perfect.
Breast milk, huh?
Apropos, all sorts of stuff. I need a drink of water.
That is water?
Yes.
Okay.
It's clear.
Just checking.
If it wasn't, we got problems.
It's got a milky hue to it. I don't know. From here. From behind the glass.
All right. Milky hue. Thanks to JJ and Simone. Great job. Thanks to Rami. Back at it tomorrow. Till then, Cattles and Rami, Sacktown Sports.